Want us to open our Bibles, please, in the book of Isaiah in the chapter 45. We'll just read a little verse that we will connect, and we will, as it were, we put our study of the Word of God, and we'll hook it on tonight. The book of Isaiah chapter 45, and let us just commence reading at verse number 20. I want you to keep your Bibles open and follow the reading of God's precious and God's holy Word, and then the meditation upon God's infallible truth this evening, praying that God will bless it to all of our hearts. Isaiah chapter 45, the verse 20, assemble yourselves and come, draw near together, ye that are escaped of the nations. They have no knowledge that set up the wood of their graven image and pray unto a God that cannot save. Tell ye and bring them near. Yea, let them take counsel together who hath declared this from ancient time, who hath told it from that time. Have not I the Lord? And there is no God else beside me, a just God and a Savior. There is none beside me. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. Let's keep our Bibles open. We'll bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that thou will help us this evening just to know the enlightenment of the Spirit of the Lord. Pray that our God, not one will leave this house tonight without hearing the voice of God speaking to their heart. And Father, you're looking into our hearts tonight and you're searching our heart by thy Holy Spirit. And we pray that thou wilt, Lord, just reveal to us our standing before thee. We thank thee for thy precious word this evening. We thank thee that it's a word that we can depend upon. It's a word that we can rejoice in. And we pray that even now that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt minister to the needs of our hearts. And those who are listening in across the world tonight through the internet, oh God, I pray that thou wilt pierce their hearts with thy precious word. Blessed Spirit of God, just take of thy word and write it upon their hearts to the glory and the honor of thy precious and thy lovely name. We lay ourselves before thee. Lord, help us in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. Verse number 22 of Isaiah chapter 45, it says, look unto me and be ye saved. All the ends of the earth, for I am God and there is none else. I told you this morning that when gathered in God's house, that we're taking a look in the book. And we're going to do that because we're taking that little word, the first word that's found in verse 22. It says, look unto me and be ye saved. And I want us to take that word and just seek, just help from God as we would just understand exactly what the Spirit of God would say to us simply through that word. See this verse, of course, in Isaiah chapter 45, it was a great verse that the Spirit of God used in the salvation of one of the greatest preachers that ever lived. His name was Charles Haddon Spurgeon, a Baptist preacher. Charles Haddon Spurgeon was a young man, and even at 7 years of age, he was tremendously well-read because his grandfather was a pastor of a church. In actual fact, the church that his grandfather pastored, in 200 years, there were only four pastors. They lived so long and they pastored so long in that same place. And you know, he spent time with his grandfather. And his aunt, who wasn't married, looked after him while he stayed in his grandfather's house. And yet, although he resided in a preacher's house, still the light of the gospel had not shone into his heart. And you know, he had such a burden to know God's way of salvation that he purposed in his soul, he was so miserable. He sought to find hope, he sought to find comfort. But he had had knowledge and yet he hadn't a heart experience. And so he desired more than anything else to know God in a real living way. And so this young man, as he would even sometimes live with his grandfather and sit under a preacher's home and be there and read God's precious word, yet his heart was broken in pieces because he couldn't find peace with God. He purposed in his heart, what would he do was simply was this. He would visit every place of worship in the town where he lived in order that he would find out the way of salvation. He admits, you know, that when he went to the different churches, many of the ministers there, they preached great truths. Truths that were applicable to those who were spiritually minded, those who had already found peace with God through the blood of the Savior's cross. But he was disappointed because when he went to these churches, whilst they preached great truths about God's plan for his people, yet there was one thing was missing in their preaching, and it was for the sinner, showing him God's way of salvation. And you know, the Bible would, even whenever he would hear the preacher speak about, be not deceived, God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, yet that shall he also reap. And whilst he had expounded about the reality of sin, there was something missing in the preaching, was to tell them the way of escape for their sin, the way that was the answer for their sin, the way of cleansing from their sin. He would tell them about their need, but would never tell them that Christ was the answer to their need. And so this young man, as he went from church to church, he was seeking to find peace, and yet he couldn't find it because he couldn't find the answer. And then it was a snowy Sunday evening. The snow was so much in the ground, he couldn't get to the place that he purposed and planned to go. And so therefore he had to stop in a little primitive Methodist church, away down the back street and into a court, and there was this little primitive Methodist chapel, as they called it in those days. And so he determined to go in because there was nowhere else. He couldn't get any further. He went into that little church, and as he sat there was only a handful of people there waiting for the minister to come. But because the snow was in the ground, the minister didn't get either. And so the minister didn't come. And one of the men of the church had to step into the pulpit. And Spurgeon tells us he was a very thin man. And he stepped up into the pulpit, and he had little to say. And of course, whenever he stepped there into the pulpit and opened his Bible, he opened at Isaiah chapter 45, verse 22. And as Spurgeon sat there in the seat, he knew through and through that he was a sinner. And as the preacher stood just for a few moments in the pulpit, he had nothing prepared. He just simply quoted the verse and the word, and he looked down into the audience, and he saw this miserable young man sitting in the seat, and he said to him these words. He says, young man, you are in trouble. And then he said this, you know, young man, you will never get out of it. You will never get out of trouble until you look to Christ. And then he lifted up his hands and he looked at Spurgeon, the young man sitting in the seat, and he cried these words. He says, young man, look! Look! Look to Jesus! Spurgeon said, it's only a look, he said. Spurgeon says, oh, I looked until I could almost have looked my eyes away. And in heaven, I will look on still. In joy that is unutterable. Look unto me and be ye saved. And I want to take that little word, friend. And I want you to follow me through the scriptures just to see what God would say. Let's turn to the book of Genesis in the chapter number 19. And in Genesis chapter 19, we have the story of a family. It's this family of a young man called Lot. He was a nephew of Abraham. And whenever God called Abraham to leave his family and his country and go to a place that God would show him, we find that indeed that Lot decided to go with his uncle. And he would go with his uncle out into this place where God was simply to show him. In Genesis chapter 19, and in the verse 17 it says this, and it came to pass that when they had brought them forth abroad, that he said, escape for thy life, look not behind thee, neither stay thou in all the plain, escape to the mountain, lest thou be consumed. And then go down to verse number 26, and this is what it says, but Lot's wife looked back from behind him, and she became a pillar of salt. There's a look, my friend, that brings condemnation. It's a look that brings condemnation. You see, here was a woman, and she was faithfully warned. Here was a woman that was the object of special appeal because the angel of the Lord had taken Lot and his wife by the hand. And whilst they were walking slowly out of the city that God was going to destroy, the city of Sodom and Gomorrah, and God says, the evil of the city has come up before me. And God says, I am going to destroy the city. And God says, get out, escape for thy life. And the angel of God says, look not behind thee. And then it says this, and Lot's wife looked back. You see, she was a woman that was faithfully warned. She's a woman that was told the way of escape. She was a woman that was urged the urgency of the hour. She was a woman that was the subject of prayer, of Abraham's prayers. She was a woman that the angel of the Lord constrained to leave the city. And yet with all the blessing, she looked back. Because, friends, she loved the city. And that city of Sodom, that city, friend, was grievous in the sight of God. And God was going to judge that city. And God was going to bring condemnation upon it. And the fire and the brimstone of heaven was going to come upon it. But Lot's wife loved that city. And she looked back. Maybe there's someone tonight in this gathering. Listen, friend. The reason why you're not saved is very simply just like Lot's wife. You love your sin. You realize that you have been spoken to by the Spirit of God. God has showed you. God has revealed to you. Your lostness, your condemned state in the sight of God, friend, listen, you have been wept over. Maybe a mother has prayed for you on bended knees. Maybe you've heard the groanings of a father on his knees before God as they've cried for the salvation of your soul. And yet you're still not saved. It's not that you don't know it. It's not that you've never heard it. It's not, friend, that the urgency of the hour, as we think about our friend Morris Thompson at 59 years of age, listen, and he there was in his business and in Israel walking the streets where Jesus walked, and then suddenly he was taken out into God's eternity. Or our brother Sam, as he stood there at the gate of his home, and he dropped over. And in a moment he was gone. And when Daphne went out, she would cry out to him and shout out to him and tell him to speak to her. But there was no answer. Why? Because Sam was gone. And the word of God says, boast not thyself of tomorrow. For thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. Friend, listen, a look that brings condemnation. She looked back. And the Spirit of God said, look not behind thee. Listen, friend, you can't defy God and prosper. Don't you ever think that you can disobey God Almighty, friend, or that I can disobey Him and prosper and know the blessing of God in our lives? Because let me tell you, here's a look that brings condemnation. You know, there are people today, and whenever we think of the first sin that entered into the world, how did it happen, friend? Do you remember Eve when she stood in that garden, friend? Listen, she looked. And the Bible tells you that after she looked, she lusted. And she longed after that fruit, and then she took. And she gave to her husband. No, friend, whenever we think of sin, that's exactly how it works. Man looks and lusts and longs for a sin that will surely bring condemnation. Because the word of God says, sin when it is finished bringeth forth death. That's a look that brings condemnation. Then turn with me, please, to the book of John's Gospel. And we're just giving you these, friend. You can spend time on these in your own. I trust you will. John's Gospel, chapter 19. And in John's Gospel, chapter 19, we find, if you turn to the verse number 37, these words. We'll start at verse 35. And one of the soldiers with a spear pierced the Savior's side, and forthwith came there out blood and water. And he that saw it bear record, and his record is true. And he knoweth that he saith true, that ye might believe. For these things were done that the scriptures should be fulfilled. A bone of him shall not be broken. And again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Tell me, where is that scripture found? Let's just see its context for a moment. It says, and again another scripture saith, they shall look on him whom they pierced. Turn with me to the Old Testament, near the end of it, to the book of Zechariah. And in the book of Zechariah, the chapter 12, it tells me in verse number 9, Zechariah chapter 12, verse 9, and it shall come to pass in that day that I will seek to destroy all the nations that come against Jerusalem, and I will pour upon the house of David and upon the inhabitants of Jerusalem the spirit of grace and of supplication, and they shall look upon me whom they have pierced, and they shall mourn for him. And friend, let me tell you, here is not a look that brings condemnation, but here is a look that brings conviction. Because the Bible says that whenever they look upon him, and the soldier stood there that day at the cross of Calvary, and they looked upon him, friend, let me tell you, and the soldier put the spear through the Savior's side, and they looked upon him, and the Bible says, they shall look upon him whom they have pierced. And the word of God says in that passage which it refers to, and they shall mourn for him. Yes, it is a look of conviction. And I believe that those men, as they stood around that cross that day, that not only did they look on him whom they had pierced, but I believe that God by his Holy Spirit was piercing into their innermost being. Because that's what God does, friend. God convicts us. God convicts us of our sin. In the book of Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, we have the other story of Peter. Whenever Peter stood in that judgment hall, and it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 22, in verse number 60, and Peter said, man, I know not what thou sayest. And immediately, while he yet spake, the cock crew, and the Lord turned and looked upon Peter. And let me tell you, friend, that brought conviction. That brought a conviction, a piercing in Peter's soul, because what does it say in verse 61? And Peter remembered. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how he had said before the cock crew, crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And Peter went out and he wept bitterly. A look that brought conviction. Can you picture that scene? The Lord Jesus Christ stands on trial and Peter stands around the fire. He warms himself with the enemies of the Savior. And a little girl comes up and she says to him, are you not one of them? And he says, I know not the man. Let me ask you a question. Have you ever denied the Lord? Maybe you've been in company, friend, let me tell you, that was strangers to God and there's no time for the things of God. Have you ever denied the Savior? You say, I never did. I never denied him like Peter. Friend, let me ask you this. Did you speak up for him? Whenever they were cursing the name of Jesus, whenever they were blaspheming the Lord Jesus Christ, tell me, did you speak up for Jesus? Or by your silence, did you deny him? And Peter said, I know not the man. And the second time he said, I know not the man. And the third time another woman came to him and she said, surely thou art one of them. And he denied the Lord with oaths and with curses. No sooner had he the words out of his mouth, friend, than the cock outside began to crow. But it wasn't only the cock crowing. It says, and the Lord looked upon Peter. Friend, I can see the tears in the eyes of the Savior. As the one that He loved, the one that He delivered, the one He had called to serve Him. The one that for 3 years had walked in the presence of the Savior, sat at the table with the Master. And yet when the time of testing came, he denied knowing Jesus with oaths and curses. The Savior looked at him. The Lord looks at your heart and mind, friend. Let me ask you, have you been faithful to the Lord Jesus this past week? Have you taken your stand for the blessed Savior in your workplace, in your home? Have you and I been the people that God wants us to be? And they looked upon Him whom they pierced, and they mourned because of Him. A look of conviction. But let me say this tonight. Listen, you could have conviction and yet not conversion. I remember the Bible tells me about Paul standing and preaching. And as he testified to Agrippa, and he looked Agrippa in the eyes and he said, Agrippa, believest thou? He says, I know that thou believest. And Agrippa said, almost thou persuadest me, Paul. And Paul says, I would to God that only almost but altogether you would be as I accept these bonds. Maybe there's someone here tonight, friend, listen. And you think back on your life and you remember nights whenever you sat under the power of God. I think about the mission in the Spain, friend. And let me tell you, I think of a man who sat in those meetings, friend, and listened whenever the appeal was given. The person sitting beside that man could confirm this. He said when the appeal was given, preacher, let me tell you, that man put his two hands under his legs and he sat as tight as he could on his hand to keep them down. And there were tears in his eyes, but he kept his hands under him. He was convicted, but he wasn't converted. And they shall look on Him whom they pierced. Friend, there's coming a day when you'll see Jesus. There's coming a day when every eye shall see Him. There's coming a day when every ungodly man that refused the Savior, that sat on their hands, that would not come to Christ, but one day you'll see the Savior, friend. Listen, let me ask you this question. When you see Jesus, will you mourn because of Him? Will you grieve because of Him? A look. And Jesus looks at Peter. And the moment the eyes of Christ look straight into the eyes of Peter, friend, listen, Peter remembered. He went out. You see, the Lord Jesus had warned Peter. Because Peter was so impetuous. Peter was so full of himself. He says, listen, though everybody else deny you, you can count on me, Jesus. You can count on me being faithful. I'll die with you. I'll stand with you. No matter about anybody else. Jesus said, Peter, listen. Before the cock crow tonight, thrice, or before the cock crow, you'll have denied me thrice. See, the Lord knows your heart and my friend. It's not what we tell others, let me tell you. It's what we live before others. And there's a look that brings conviction. Now turn with me to the book of Numbers quickly. Numbers chapter 21. And when you come to the book of Numbers chapter 21, we are studying in our Bible classes. or in our prayer meeting, we're in the book of Numbers, but in Numbers chapter 21, there's a story that many people know, friend. We'll read because of time. Go to verse 7. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he will take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent, and set it upon a pole, and it shall come to pass that every one that is bitten, when he looketh upon it, shall live." And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole. Came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Now you say to me, what has this got to do, friend? Listen, let me tell you. Here is a look that not brings condemnation, or a look that brings conviction. Here is a look that brings conversion. Because everyone that looked lived. In this 21st chapter, the people sinned. They had sinned grievously. The children of Israel had sinned grievously against God and against Moses. And because of their sin, they were dying. You see the truth of it, friend. Listen, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. Sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. Before Adam sinned in the garden, friend, there was no death. And God says, "The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die." He knew. God warned him, but he wouldn't listen. And here in the children of Israel, God says, "Listen, you're dying because of your sin." Every man has been born in the world, let me tell you, has been bitten by the serpent. The old devil has bitten us, friend, and let me tell you, running in our veins tonight, there is the seeds of sin. God says there's no difference. I don't care who you are tonight. I don't care what your background is or from what home you came tonight. God says, concerning me, friend, just the same as you, God says there's no difference. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of our sin is death. And don't you ever think that God will ignore your sin and God will overlook your sin, whether you're a young person or whether you're an older person. For let me tell you, sin, when it is finished, bringeth forth death. And God tells Moses that there is one way of deliverance. God tells him to make another serpent, but it was to be a brass serpent. And God says, make a serpent of brass and put it on a pole. Let me tell you, friend, brass in the scripture speaks of judgment. And you say, why the serpent of brass? I'll tell you why. Because for you and me to be saved from our sin, the Lord Jesus Christ, and this is a picture of our Savior and the work of Calvary. You say, how do I know? Go to John 3 and you'll find it true. Even as the Son of Man is lifted up, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. And what does that speak to me of? I'll tell you, friend, very simply. The Lord Jesus Christ, to be our Savior, had to become sin for us. Who knew no sin? I stand amazed at the mercy and the grace and the love of God for sinners, that His Son, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God, His lovely Son, the eternal Son of the eternal Father, would step down into time, friend, and would dwell amongst sinful man, and he became sin for us. And the brass speaks of judgment, because let me tell you, he was judged for our sins. And all the wrath and all the punishment and all the pain of hell that was due for my sin, let me tell you, friend, it's not a cheap salvation we're preaching tonight. It is a full salvation, but it was a costly salvation. And for you and me to be saved, let me tell you, God gave His Son, and God's Son stepped into the fires of punishment that was due for my sin, and He drank damnation dry for me, that I would never perish, but that I might have everlasting life.
And that's why, my friend, listen, eternal life is only found in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And they lifted up the brazen serpent on that pole, let me tell you, friend. And God says, Moses, tell them, he who looks upon the serpent, not on the pole, but he that looks upon it, on the serpent, the brazen serpent, shall live. And the Lord Jesus Christ was lifted up. And the way of healing was by faith, looking to the lifted serpent in the center of the camp, friend. And no amount of medicine could heal them, and no amount of ignoring the serpent would heal them. They had to look and live. And friend, I want to tell you tonight, in the authority of God's word, you can look to man for salvation and you'll go to hell. You can look to the church for salvation and you'll go to hell. You can look to sacraments of the church to your way of salvation. And friend, I say lovingly and I say solemnly, and you'll go to hell. You can look to the communion rail and you can go to hell. You can look to Mary and you'll go to hell. You can look to morality and you'll go to hell. Because none of these can ever save. But Jesus says, look unto me and be ye saved. For I am God, and beside me there's none else. Just as young Spurgeon sat in that seat, friend, the light of the gospel shone into his heart. And he realized it was a look away to Jesus. And it was only Christ could save him. And they that look shall live. It was a look that brings conversion. You look to Jesus Christ tonight, and I'll guarantee on you, in the authority of God's word, friend, let me tell you, he'll save you. The Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, is able to save to the uttermost all that come. There's not a man tonight, there's not a woman that comes to Jesus Christ, but praise God, the blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, will cleanse you. He'll make you clean. And he'll give you a new heart. He'll change your life completely. For it's a look that brings conversion. Let's go very quickly, friend. Turn to John's Gospel, chapter 4 now. In John's Gospel, chapter 4, we find this in verse number 35. Say not ye, there are yet 4 months, and then cometh harvest. Behold, I say unto you, lift up your eyes and look on the fields, for they are white already to harvest. Keep your hand there, turn back to Matthew's Gospel. And Matthew's Gospel, chapter 9. It says in verse 36, and when Jesus saw the multitude, he was moved with compassion on them, because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep, having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he will send forth laborers into his harvest. Friend, listen. Look on the fields, for they're white, all ready to harvest. And I tell you this, here is a look that brings commission. You'll never see the souls of men and women the same again, friend, after you look through the eyes of Christ. You know, when he saw them not as a crowd, he saw them as sheep without a shepherd. And as the Lord Jesus Christ looked on them, hit compassion. I think of Robert Murray McShane as a young fella. He was walking down the streets with his mother shopping one day, and he and his mother got separated, and when she came back to him, he was sitting at the side of the street and was crying. She says, "What's wrong, son?" He says, "Oh, mother, mother, do you not hear? Do Do you not hear, Watson? Do you not hear the tramp of countless feet? Men and women going to hell. And friend, we'll walk amongst the crowds if God spurs us to Christmas. And we'll run in and out of shops and we'll see the crowds crowded with humanity. And we'll just see them as people running to and fro. And everyone is a precious soul. Some of these days, they'll leave this old scene of time, friend, maybe in a moment, without a warning again. And they'll go out to eternity, listen, either to heaven if they're saved, or hell if they're lost. Does that bother you tonight? Does it bother you? Me? Make me a winner of souls, dear Lord. Show me just where to begin. I know that you can never make use of me until I am cleansed from all sin. Point out the weights that are hindering, Lord. Then come and burn up the dross. Give me a passion for perishing souls. My boasting, my glory, your cross. Have you looked for my sheep in the desert, for those that have missed the way? Have you been in the wild waste places where the lost and wandering stray? Have you walked on lonely highways and down the needy street? It may be you've seen in the darkness the print of my wounded feet. Have you carried the living water to the parched and weary soul? Have you said to the sick and wounded, Christ Jesus can make you whole? Have you told the fallen person of my strong restoring hand, or directed the straying footsteps back to my promised land? Have you visited sad and weary and comforted those near death? Have you wept with sorrow stricken and encouraged feeble faith? Have you felt in the final moments when you've glimpsed eternity's door opening for a loved one? Have I been there before? Have you wept with the brokenhearted in their agony and woe? You might hear me whisper beside you, 'tis the pathway I often go. Then I believe that if God is going to use this people in this church and fill up these seats, that God has got to show us the need of humanity around us. And I believe we've got to look again. And when we look, we need the look that brings compassion and a look that brings commission. Say not, there are yet 3 or 4 months and then cometh harvest. But I say unto you, lift up your eyes. Look on the fields. Oh, brother and sister, in God's name, our families are dying and they're going to hell. May God help us to see them in the fields of sin. For the fields are white, all ready to harvest. And the laborers are few. A look that brings commission where there is no vision. The people perish. Turn quickly to Philippians chapter 3 now. We'll soon be finished. In Philippians chapter 3, in the verse 20, it says this: for our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for the Savior, the Lord
Jesus Christ. Turn to 2 Peter chapter 3. And in 2 Peter chapter 3, in the verse 13, it says this: Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. And then finally, in Titus chapter 2, verse 13, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Here's a look, friend. A look that brings us comfort. My, what comfort this brings to our hearts. For thank God we're looking for Jesus. Boy said one time, he says, let me tell you, and Mr. Waters, I'm sorry to disappoint you. He said, listen, I'm not looking for the undertaker, I'm looking for the uptaker. I'm looking for Jesus. Let me ask you, are you looking for Jesus? Are you looking for him? Are you longing for the day when Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the one who was lifted up upon the cross, the one who died for your sins, the one who in his blessed purpose and plan brought salvation to your soul, the one that gave you peace and pardon through the blood of his cross. And friend, let me tell you, as you live in this wicked old sinful world in which we're living, we realize this world's not our home, and some of these days we're going to go and God, Lord's going to call, and we're looking for Jesus. We're looking for Jesus. This world in which we're living, friend, there's no continuing city here. But we're seeking one to come. Abram, he went out, friend, listen, and he dwelt in tents. Why? Because even though he was one of the richest men that lived, he was happy to live in tents. Why? Because he looked for a city that had foundation. But it wasn't the foundation he was going to put in. He looked for a city that had foundation, whose builder and maker was God. It was going to last. And we build our homes, and let me tell you, friend, whenever we have them built, we'll see some flaw in it, and we wish it made changes, and we wish we'd done things different. Let me tell you this, the home that God's children are going to, glory to God, there's no need for change. For the builder and the maker is God. And we're looking for new heavens and a new earth that fadeth not away. And we're looking for our blessed Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know that word's over and over again in the book? Luke's Gospel chapter 21. In Luke's Gospel chapter 21 it says this. In verse 28. A lot of God's people are downcast tonight. Think things are falling apart. Things are not what they planned it to be. Let me tell you, friend, this is what it says in Luke's Gospel, chapter 21, verse 25. If you think that things are falling apart, look at this. And there shall be signs in the sun and in the moon and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts feeling them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken, and they shall see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with power and his glory. And when these things begin to come to pass, what does it say? Then look up! Look up, brother! Give your eyes in the wrong direction tonight. You're looking out. And when you're looking out, friend, let me tell you, you're disappointed and you're so filled with sorrow and you think, my, it should all be different. And the next thing you're looking down. And God says, when you see all of this chaos coming about, don't you be worried. He says, look up. Why? Why does he say look up? He says, because your redemption draweth nigh. You're going home. You're going home.
I sing a wee hymn, and there's a wee sister in Belfast, let me tell you, and sometimes she's very hardly able to move. She's so filled with pains and all the rest of it. Friend, listen. And she said to me, when she come to some of my evenings of prayer, she says, "Will you sing it?" And I know when I see her sitting down there, and I'll sing it. "I'm nearer home than I was yesterday." Friend, we're going home. And God says, when you see all these things come to pass, He says, look up for your redemption. Draweth nigh. Child of God, you ought to be the happiest person in the world. Here's a look that brings comfort. We're looking for Jesus. But there's one more. 2 John chapter, there's only one chapter, verse 8. 2 John and the verse 8. And this is what it says, friend. It says, look to yourselves. Look to yourselves. That we lose not those things which we have wrought, but that we receive a full reward. Here's a look that brings a challenge. He says, look to yourselves. Friend, I tell you, that simply means examine your own heart. Look to yourself. Don't examine the person beside you, friend. Don't examine the person in front of you. Look to yourselves. Let the Holy Spirit of God examine your heart. And just say with the words of a hymn writer, Lord, let my life appear as seen by thine all-seeing eyes. To mine my ways make clear. Lord, would you open my eyes and let me see myself. Let me see myself, Lord, as you see me. Examine yourself. Are you saved tonight? Really saved? Are you walking with God? Listen, if the Lord was to call tonight, are you ready to go? Are you looking for Him? Are you looking for Him? Looking for the Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, friend, listen, examine yourselves. Look to yourselves. And then having done that, remember the day of judgment. We shall not be asked what we have read. We'll be asked what we have done. You could have all the head knowledge of the world tonight. And let me tell you, you could be filled with theories and philosophies and all the rest of it and religion to your ears. But if you're not saved, you're lost. And friend, having looked to yourself, then dedicate yourself. Give yourself to Christ. The motto of the Southern American missionary was this: the will of God, nothing less, nothing more, nothing else. The will of God. Will you let God examine your heart tonight? A look that brings condemnation. A look that brings conviction. A look that brings conversion. A look that brings commission. A look that brings comfort. But a look that brings challenge. Oh, may God search you now. For Jesus' sake. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word tonight. Thank you for the reality of thy word, and we pray that thou will come with power. Help not one leave this service tonight until, Lord, having been examined before thee, that they will have it settled concerning the issue of their soul.
May God's children this night, Lord, search their hearts and so rededicate their lives. The will of God, nothing else, nothing more, but nothing less. Oh God, there's nothing more to get, and there's nothing better to get than the will of God. Thy sweet, blessed will, O God. As our heads are bowed and eyes are closed, friend, the meeting will be over in a moment. Let me ask you a question. Look to yourselves. What about your soul? Are you saved? Are you really saved, friend? You can say, even so come, Lord Jesus. Even so call, Lord Jesus, because I'm ready to go. I'm going to sing one verse. There's someone in the service, sinner or backslider, and you say, preacher, please, point me away to Jesus. I want to look to Christ tonight. But I want to look afresh upon the blessed Lamb of God that alone can take away my sin. Preacher, point me to Him. As you sing this verse, friend, would you just lift that hand to indicate your desire? Preacher, point me to Christ. Don't worry about the persons around you, friend. My old companions, fare ye well. I will not go with you to hell, but I mean with Jesus Christ to dwell. Will you come? Will you come? Just as I am. Just as I am, without one plea, that thy blood was shed for me. Is there someone tonight in the closing second of this meeting, you say, preacher, I need Jesus. Lead me to Christ. As every head is bowed and every eye is closed, is there someone lift that hand toward heaven tonight? Say, preacher, point me to Jesus. Lead me to the Lord. I come. Father in heaven, give deciding grace tonight. And even as precious souls are leaving this gathering, we pray that you'll turn their feet to the inquiry room. Let them not leave without knowing thy lovely Son, for Jesus' sake. Amen.